I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, and welcome to RPG from Scratch. I'm your host, Josh LaForge, and with me today is Doug.
Hello.
Liam.
14.
And Max.
Go see Top Gun.
So, we've got more steps to go down. I've got a couple extra like
caveats?
Asides to throw at you guys.
What steps do we got left?
We've got Champion Step 6, Command Step 6, Marksman Step 6, and Radiance Step 6.
Okay. Are we feeling Radiance tonight?
Yeah.
Are we feeling Radiance? Do you want to go down the Radiance hole?
I'm for that or Champion, really. Haven't seen Champion in a while.
I always feel like Champion is pretty easy to slam dunk because of how straightforward it is. Radiance is always a little trickier, which is,
right. Well, then we'll pick that one up. Pick that one apart.
Yeah. If we got time, we can always do Champion and go like, he hits it harder. It's fine.
Saving Champion until we're almost done with Step 6 might be smart because Champion does so much damage. Judging it against the hole is probably pretty useful.
Yeah. It's got to be out of the gate, Champion. You got to know what you're setting up. Or going like, okay, we have to tap this down a little.
Boys, let's do Radiance.
Radiance.
Let's get these glowy boys some bonuses.
Okay. Glowy boys.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so let's go through.
Let's give the rundown. Let's go the old LaForge rundown.
What if they put a light on someone and then that person can't hide?
That's fun. Can you save that?
Yes.
Keep that in your pocket?
Like Jim Croce.
Don't know who that is.
You don't know who Jim Croce is?
I'm just going to say yes.
If you could save time in a bottle.
If I could save time. In a bottle.
Oh, okay. I definitely know that.
We just got DMCA striked.
Core Radiance. Let's do a recap.
Mm-hmm.
They get Invigorate, which is a shielding effect, and it's equal to your composure.
What is that commonly referred to as?
Oh.
There we go.
You shield a target with a amount of temporary hit points equal to your composure. We say shielding rather than temporary hit points because the hit points doesn't add to any other thing.
It's just weird.
We're just calling it shielding. As a swift action, retribution is whenever damage is done against a shield you provided, it adds to your retribution score. Whenever you hit an enemy with an attack, you can spend your total retribution score to add that much to your damage. Or to your healing when you hit an ally with a heal. And Golden Flare, it is an at-will attack. It's a burst one within five spaces, and it heals all allies and damages all enemies within there. And it's just level plus one is your dice tier. Simple, easy.
Scales well.
Yep.
Good.
That's it. That's Core Radiance. And it works.
That's a toolkit, man.
Yep. Step one, the Acolyte's Reward. It's a feature. When an ally regains hit points due to a power you've used, you gain plus one to your dodge and armor until the end of your turn.
Just makes you
it's a little slippery.
Just a little slippery and rewards you for doing your fucking job.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Do your job. Dazzling Ray. We all know this one. At will attack, Ray 5, and all enemies and allies it hit are damaged and healed respectively, equal to 2 plus your level. Dice cheer, plus your composure. And Radiant Defender, it's a scene attack. It targets one empty space within five spaces, and an effigy of pure energy is summoned in an empty space adjacent to the target. Allies can move through the summoned aspect and even end their turns within its space. Enemies cannot. All allies adjacent or within the effigy gain plus two to dodge and plus one to armor and regain your composure as hit points until it vanishes.
I don't think we've ever used that yet.
I don't think we've had one person with step one Radiance, and I don't think we had that ability laid out like that.
Yeah.
When it was. Step two, Radiant Overflow. It's a feature. Crits against enemies grant you shielding equal to double your composure.
It's just dope.
Heaven's Favor, Daily Attack. It's an adjacent blast two. Spontaneous sunbeams break the gloom of combat, illuminating you and your allies. You, as well as allies within the blast, regain your composure as hit points. Boon. All of your heals until the end of the encounter grant additional hit points equal to your composure. And Bane, affected enemies are weakened until the end of your next turn. That's half damage.
Dope.
Step three, Radiance. We just redid step three. So Cleansing Light. It's an at-will move action. Choose to either remove a boon or a bane. You remove the most recent one applied to the target. This can also be used to purify food and drink of poison or contaminants to make it safe for consumption.
Great utility.
And the new ability, Incandescence. Whenever you use a healing ability, choose an ally within its effect. Until the end of their next turn, that ally deals additional radiant damage equal to your composure to an enemy hit by their attacks. When they do, you regain hit points equal to your composure. Step 4, Interference. It's a per-scene swift action. It applies a boon to an ally. Enemies attacking that subject of this boon must succeed on a composure check against your composure defense to target them. Area attacks are unaffected unless they are the only target within the area. The subject cannot grant the upper hand to allies via flanking while this boon is active on them. If the subject attacks or uses abilities that directly negatively affect enemies, the boon ends.
I like that.
Prismatic Form. This is the shit. Daily, move action, target yourself. You split into 6 identical versions of yourself and occupy all of their perspectives at once. So you create 5 additional instances of your character. Each instance is created 2 spaces apart from any other version, originated from your space of origin. You may split your move action among all of these forms. You do not gain extra attacks, but may perform actions treating any one of these instances as a space of origin. An individual instance vanishes when it takes damage of any kind. All remaining copies vanish at the end of the scene or when you are knocked flat, rendered unconscious, reduced to 0 hit points, or suffer a condition that would entirely remove your ability to focus, such as confusion.
Should that be 6 for Roy Dubiv?
You are Roy.
It is 6 total. You make 5 additional.
Mm-hmm. I was saying you should make 6 additional, right?
Oh, you want? Well, we don't want to reference Roy. We have another Roy Dubiv ability
true.
Coming. So, when an enemy hits one of these forms, they roll 1d6. If the die lands on a 1, the attack hits you and functions as normal. If it lands on any other number, the copy is destroyed. If the die lands on a value higher than the number of remaining instances, the enemy rerolls that die. All right, that's step 4. Step 5, Sunbeam, at-will attack. It's 1 target within a range of 10. Enemies targeted by this ability take damage. Targeted allies are healed. Targets do not have cover against this ability, though line of sight must first be established. And it deals your level plus 8 as dice tier, plus your composure.
Damn.
So it's
a nuke.
It's a sky laser, basically. And Roy G. Blitz.
Hell yeah.
Per scene,
we're stupid, I love this.
First scene attack action with a range of 4. It targets an area. You teleport 4 spaces to an unoccupied space. Any enemies in the path between your starting and ending space take radiant damage as you zip through them. You may repeat this movement any number of times, as long as the path includes an enemy each time. You may not include the same enemy within a given path more than once.
Oh yeah, the checker.
Yeah. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. That's Radiance, boys.
Radiance fucking rules.
Yeah.
Radiance is dope. So what about step 6?
I like Spotlight.
Yeah, I was thinking a light globe kind of like fire gets.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it could attach to someone and take away dodge or something while it's attached to them. Something that puts a light on them where they can't get away as fast.
So it would mark them effectively.
Mark them, yes.
Okay.
A glowing that would be orb. Highlight?
Yes.
Spotlight.
Yeah. Spotlight.
Right. That's
prevent them from going into stealth or taking
yes.
any, you know.
Really lights them up.
Yeah. I like that.
Would it hover over them?
Yo, that could be useful.
No, I think they would become
luminous.
Luminous. Okay. In a bad way.
It would be also useful to pursue someone who's trying to escape.
Yeah. Yes. In a crowd. You're yeah. like, it's definitely that guy. You're like, how can you tell? He's glowing. Well, you know, he has had a really nice day. No, he's glowing.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, they're pregnant.
Which Radiance is not good for.
You cast it on a baby. You can see it through
it's
the
like,
stomach.
You're glowing, honey. You see someone, like, stealing, breaking and entering, just... Whoop, and they're just like, oh, fuck. It's, like, better than having ink explode on you.
Definitely should only be able to be one target at a time.
Yeah.
I don't think it needs to be an encounter, but you can't. Just, I don't want you to be able to do it to everybody.
Well, I mean, why would you even really? Like,
if it was allowed to happen, people would do it. And it just, flavor-wise, it feels bad.
Does it debuff anything at all?
Oh, yeah. It should remove dodge and prevent bonuses like hiding or concealing, turning invisible, being blurry. Like, with all those things, it just goes, no, you're highlighted. Fuck you.
Like, that tornado we fought.
Or actually, rather than removing dodge, should it gain bonus? Like,
yeah, everybody attacking gets a +1.
But, yeah.
I think flat +1, I think, is more than enough.
Very good.
Make it a move action so it doesn't take your attack.
Yeah, like you cast it or whatever, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or we could add an extra thing to it and make it take an attack action, because it'd still be worth doing to get everybody a plus one. It'd be something worthwhile doing when you're not healing, right?
Yeah. It's a good opening move.
If it gives him a little sting, a little, you know...
I don't think damaging him immediately is that great.
No.
But if the next attack deals extra damage...
Yeah.
What if it lets you curve, like, a radiant beam? So, like, you shoot...
Almost like heat-seeking?
Well, I'm saying, like you shoot three into that thing,
yeah,
and then three more through your party. So like you're able to heal more.
Painted the target with magic.
How about this? Plus one to hit on all...
Paul, time out real quick. Max brought up something that's to do with physics that I just want to make a note about.
Physics.
Okay.
Rather than have it do damage, I like the move action thing. All attacks get a plus one, but ranged attacks have an increased critical chance.
What if...
Because it should be more effective for ranged targets highlighting. Yeah. Someone being highlighted right in front of you, you're like, yeah, they're right there. But from far away, you're like, oh, this is easy.
I like that.
How about it takes an attack action? That target cannot gain the upper hand from flanking because you're never going to lose sight of it.
Yeah.
Like you're never going to be distracted.
Know where it is, yeah.
I like the idea that it could be an attack action. I think something like this doesn't take up an attack action slot in the path, right? Like,
right.
It would just be like, here's an extra thing you can do.
Yeah.
Like, if one of your allies is being flanked,
oh, yeah, then
has
you
the upper hand,
him.
You're
yeah.
like, I'm going to remove this bonus.
And I think it should have longer range than something like Dazzling Ray.
Agreed. I think like 15, 20.
Yeah.
15's enough.
15 is, man, if 15's you're, a lot. If you're hanging out with 20 spaces around you, that's a lot.
It's an at will. It's an attack action. Targets one within 15. Only one target can be
subject to
how about
of time.
Two rounds.
Okay.
Lasts for two rounds to the end of your turn after two rounds.
Yeah.
So that way you can benefit from it.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Spotlight. Max, you mentioned the idea that you radiant abilities can curve.
I was thinking because light curves
around mass.
Yes. What if you could shoot your radiant beam at your ball of light or whatever, and any remaining steps could curve in a direction? So that way, if let's say you had...
You're talking about Dazzling Ray?
Dazzling Ray.
Okay.
Let's say you're trying to heal a teammate who is, you know, catty corner to you. You could shoot your light at the ball, then curve it around to touch them in kind of a knight pattern.
I think that's kind of cool, but...
It's just an idea. I don't care.
But the whole thing is, we've been... One of the other paths that is in our back pocket that we want to work on are like gravitational or force-based.
I was just thinking how
caster.
Light,
I feel
light
like
curves.
That would be their thing, where like they can put down stuff that can bend stuff, like all ranged attacks, because it's literally like a tiny black hole.
I think there's fun ways to do this with light that are light specific. Like we talk about gravitational lensing.
Yeah,
it goes around a target, something like that. That could be a fun way to move as radiance without provoking.
Yes.
Is that you could maybe do a per scene move action where you don't provoke and it dazzles somebody? Something like that? Like it makes it so that they get a negative to hit.
Yeah.
Something like that. Because like you, for listeners who don't know what we're talking about, there are spots in the universe that have immense mass. And we usually don't know what the mass is. But there's an object behind it that is emitting light that's reaching us. But when we look in its direction, we see multiple instances of that same one object because the light is having to bend around this mass to reach us. So it looks like
it's like a house of mirrors almost.
Yeah, very much.
That phenomenon was proposed by Albert Einstein and then immediately proven, I think, like a year afterwards.
Light bending was that because of a he didn't discover. Gravitational lensing was discovered much later, but
principle. Yeah.
It's the same principle for sure. But yeah, it was an eclipse, right? You saw stars behind the sun.
Behind the sun.
Yeah.
But but also there was two from both sides of it. They're like, holy shit, is that the same thing? We're like, yeah.
So you're thinking instead of it being like you bend in an attack, it could be a movement? Like if
you tag
it on RG Blitz?
You have to pass through an object. Like it has to be an object. No, I think you don't have to pass through an object.
No.
You're just, you make a straight path. How would you say this? Like,
there's an enemy in your way. You can travel essentially through him, but you're not really traveling through. You're traveling around all the way
around.
But the attack, like that enemy creature doesn't know that and just sees you coming really fast, really hard and gets spooked.
Yeah. Well, I think also the fact that you're doing it with light, it could just confuse them enough for one round. It's going to fuck them up for hitting. It's not going to fuck up their dodge against anyone else.
No.
It's just...
Well, I think it should just fully remove their attack action. Like, they just don't, they can't, they're dazzled. They can't attack.
I think a one round debuff is probably enough. Like, just a negative one to hit. Because you want to use this as a move action on your turn to get out of trouble, right?
Yeah.
And then just it has a secondary bonus, being it just, it gives them a negative one to attack until the end of your next turn.
All right.
Because I'm going to give them another thing. Step
what's,
six
okay,
as well.
Okay, what's the range on it? Like, how far, like, do they have to be engaged with you?
That's
or what?
Fun. No, no. I think.
Because theoretically.
If it's once per scene, yeah. takes a move action, maybe 10. 10's yeah. far.
But so, you're moving fast.
Okay. How about you either move the full range or nothing? Like, yeah. you have to pick a spot within, let's say, 7.
Okay.
Does that
like
make
that.
Sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the whole range of movement is 7 total, no more, no less, or the target has to be within 7 of you. So in other words, like, you have a tank coming up to get you, you warp around them, and you're 7 blocks away, or hexes away from where you started, or a marksman just enters the 7th hex from you, and you bamf to them, and you go around them? Like, what's the maximum
distance?
Say,
I would say from your space to 7 spaces away is where you travel.
Gotcha. So they have to be within the 7.
And you know what? I think anybody caught within it gets a negative to hit, including allies. Because
it is very bad.
Yeah. It needs to be worth it for me to fuck up my allies to get out of this trouble. And they'd probably say, yeah. Right? Like, that's like...
Where it's like, I'm going to die if I don't. Yeah. You know, like, that kind of...
I love the idea of just bending light. Like, if we get to, like, step 10, where you just completely negate any range units on the enemy side. Like they can't see anything.
Let's give them a... So the actual attacks that deal damage they've gotten so far is the Sunbeam, Golden Flare, and Dazzling Ray that are at will. That's pretty much it. They don't have like a per scene like nuke.
Let's give them a per scene nuke then.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Melanoma.
Yes, perfect.
Just like radiation burn, right? Like what's and it should affect more than one, right? Maybe not a huge area, but more than one.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I don't know. Death got Hecatomb, which is like damage everybody who can see you.
Yeah, but that's also its role.
But Death also got the giant tank death thing,
that's
right?
That's the thing it does.
Yeah.
I like the idea of being able to pick where it happens as opposed to just having it burst from you.
Agreed. Although they don't really have anything to burst from them right now.
Actually, I kind of like that. That's a
bursting from
you? The other things they have are all pick an area. You pick a location.
That's true.
Like Cyclops?
It could be the opposite of Hecatomb, right? Like, or it could be limited, maybe like a burst 5 around you.
Okay.
Something big. I think it's not healing. We shouldn't just give base healing. They've got enough heals.
Yeah.
But maybe
they
like...
They don't have a big group heal, though.
They've got... if you're core radiance, they do. They've got
no, you have a burst heal, but you don't
that's
have
true.
A group heal. Like, and even that, that's like, if they're perfectly lined up, what, 5 people max?
And you know, what they don't have, but I don't want to give them, is heal over time.
No, that's...
That's zealotry, that's life eventually.
Shielding, yeah.
We started talking about a nuke, though. That's the
yeah.
Like,
oh no, I'm saying burst 5, heal, damage, starting at them. It's an encounter, and it is a supernova.
Okay. How about supernova?
Done.
Okay.
Or just nova, so that later we can give them supernova.
How about we make it so that it's something that you can build towards, if we're talking about nova?
Okay.
So like if you spend a swift action on your turn, it builds, and when you use supernova, if you had like the number of swift actions you spent during this scene to build it, has an increased effect.
Okay.
So how would it work?
So let's think, is it raw healing or are we doing shielding?
Ooh, I like shielding.
So are we talking healing or damage? Like what's the...
No, it's going to damage.
Yeah. But the whole thing is also, one of the things that I like that we're doing with Radiance is a lot of things do one thing to allies and one thing to enemies.
Sure.
In the same attack. So I like the idea of you do a burst, it does damage, and give shielding to allies. And that shielding can be used with your retribution score to quickly gain a lot of it.
Yeah. Let's not worry about how much damage or how much healing or how much shielding it gives. Let's get down how it works.
Yeah.
Because the rest of it we can kind of fiddle with later to get the numbers right. So we could say it heals an amount.
Yeah.
It can, let's say there's a baseline amount, heals and damages. So let's skip shielding for now just because it's a more complex concept. It heals and damages a specific amount, and it's dice tier. The dice tier increases by 1 for every swift action you've spent this combat building it.
Okay. Invigorate is a swift action, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you choose not to move, you can invigorate and add a charge.
Or you can choose to invigorate rather. Or if everyone's doing okay, your shields are up.
Yeah. Spend it.
Maybe instead. Go
once,
for the big hit.
Once per turn, you can choose a swift action to do that so that you're not
you
spending 3 swifts.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a cool concept that nobody else is doing right now, right?
As far as I know.
Definitely none of the other paths, yes.
Do we make it based on dice tier? I think that's the easiest analog for us. Because we'd be like, oh, well, it normally does this plus my level, so it's like 10. And I've spent 4 swift actions as 14.
Yeah.
Right? And that's easy for them to grab the dice for. I don't think we max out the charges. Because how many rounds does combat last? Maximum.
I think 6 is the highest we've ever been to.
Fine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you build your squad around having long, drawn-out fights to get to your win condition of having a giant nuke, if everyone is still up after 24 rounds...
Time to nuke.
Guess what? Yeah, you have your win condition.
That's actually... Man, having been in long D&D fights, the idea that you're not getting weaker as you progress, but actually have this in your back pocket, that could be a holdout.
Oh, I think this is fun and not dumb. I think it's not too big of a detriment, but I like the flavor on it. It deals damage to you at the start of your turn, equal to double the amount of charges that you have stored.
Oof.
Right, because you can mitigate that
completely
by choosing things to do on your turn. Right, you could heal yourself easily, but just the fact that, like, you're building up a lot of charge here, bud.
Yeah.
and you're about to go Nova. You got to release this at some point.
Rope a dope, yep.
Kind of like the flavor
of
that.
Say it again. It was how much damage? It's
double the amount of charges you have at the start of your turn. You take that much damage from Supernova.
Every turn?
Yes.
So how much damage do you deal?
You make one charge. Well, I don't know yet, but we can balance around it, right? Yeah. So let's say you have one charge on one turn, and then your next turn you start that, you take 2 damage. And then you do another charge there. Next turn you take 4, then 6. But remember, you don't get this until level 5.
Yeah. So every time you put it away, you take the damage, as opposed to stack it up, then activate, and you take all the damage at once.
Yes. Correct. So that you can do Dazzling Ray to get some...
Yes.
Like, yeah.
You can mitigate it.
Yeah, you can invigorate.
So you can heal as you go.
But if somebody's attacking you and you're building up charges, you might die at the start of your turn if they get you low enough.
Right.
Which I think is like a fun thing to juggle.
All right. Well, this is what, step 6?
Yeah, so minimum level 5.
And their hit point is what, 4 a turn? 4
it's
a level?
It's low.
What about a situation
that's
where...
only 24. That's 24 hit points.
But think about this.
I think 2 a stack is too much.
How many stacks do you have on you where you're like, I don't know if my healing's keeping up with this? How many? I think at this level, if you just do 1 Dazzling Ray every turn, that includes you, right? I don't think you're worried about the damage this is dealing until you get to like 4 or 5.
As long as the damage is being dealt on your turn to you, the only caveat is, I think you should be able to expend those charges before the damage hits you.
How about this? Instead of you do the charge, next turn you start it, you take the damage. On the turn where you do it, at the end of that turn, you take the damage.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's easier to plan around.
Because then you can just hit a turn where you're like, cool, okay. I got hit really bad last turn, and I can't heal that amount of damage, so he has forced my hand.
You're going to take the damage earlier, and you're not going to be able to mitigate the damage you just took, right? So, like, if I healed myself for the past damage I took, I can't heal myself at the end of my turn.
Well, you're right.
But I think that's okay. You can plan around how much damage you're going to take. And if you want, listen, it's coming. You should just release it now.
Actually, I don't. With that coming at the end, if you have 6 charges, you take 12 damage, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead. If
you're not dead, the next time someone hits you before your
turn... No,
no,
no. But, I mean, like, no, that's going to happen. You're dead.
But what I'm saying, on your turn, let's say you've got 5 charges on it. You know, at the end of your turn, you're only going to take 10 damage, right?
When you have 24 damage, only 10 damage doesn't exist.
You start off with 20 HP, right? Or 18, something like that. So, and then you'll have it, more. I got radiance.
Let's find out what your damage,
if you're pure radiance, you start off with 20 HP.
Okay.
So
40 something?
Yeah.
Okay, that's doable.
So an additional 4 times, so you're level 5 at the minimum, plus 24, 36 HP.
All right, that's pretty doable at 5 or 6, yeah.
Okay, but let's say you start your turn, like, I'm going to do another charge. I've only got 8 HP left because of the damage I just took on this, like, right before this turn started. I'm now have the choice to just do the Nova now and release it so I don't take that extra, and I'll get healing from it. I think it's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you take double the amount of charges as damage, cannot be mitigated by armor or shielding.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You can heal it.
Yeah.
Oh, actually.
Because it's coming from within.
But I don't know, man.
It's inside of you. Yeah, you're burning up from inside.
You're containing the pain you are about to unleash.
Yeah.
So.
I like that.
Okay. Per scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
So per scene, attack action. What's the distance? 5?
Burst 5.
How about, hold on. How about burst 3, increased by 1 for each charge?
Like that. That's making those charges feel way more important, too.
You get that DBZ energy of like...
Yeah.
That was like Spirit Bomb.
You're like, heal me. That was Supernova 3. Would you like to see Supernova 5?
Well, you have to wait for next encounter. But
you have to wait for the next episode.
Oh, Lou Bega.
I like that. I like that.
Okay. I like that, too. So would you call it Supernova?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do we call the lensing ability? Just lensing?
Gray lensing?
The great lensman.
For Supernova, what are we about the damage that they get? What is the...
We haven't said the amount. It's frankly not that important because I need to just balance it. Yeah. The damage will be more than any of their at-will abilities at starting and then grant an extra.
You will probably, by the end of it, to do something really cool, have taken more damage than damage you deal out. But you will probably do more healing and provide more shielding. So it's...
I'm just picturing it in my head, and I'm thinking, like, with something that's that cool, and that I almost want to be able to... That the burst shifts people, like, one hex, but I know that's not really what Radiance
really
is about.
It's not really its flavor.
That's the... Make it feel like it is that one thing that you're gambling on, instead of just like, oh, it's a really hot light that turns on.
I think the damage, healing, shielding, if you do this right, that is going to shift entire combat after that.
Sure.
Even if any one of them is standing, everyone in your party is like, cool, I have 10 shielding to blow through. And then you get the added bonus of, awesome, they just blew through that 10 shielding on everybody. That's 40 retribution score that I've just banked near instantly. So then I'm going to Kamehameha.
So are we going to do the shielding?
I think we should.
I don't know. I think I'm okay with doing the shielding if I can add another downside.
I don't think the shielding shouldn't it shouldn't be a dice tier. At all.
No,
it should be one. Flat
should the
one.
Shielding be temp like last only one round instead of a number of like it like just
no
because
no, I don't want to make special rules for this shielding based on other shielding.
Yeah, that's true.
We could just do they gain shielding equal to your composure, and shielding doesn't stack, like it always overwrites itself.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Okay, now let me add a caveat to make it worse, because we just added shielding's enormous, right?
Yeah,
enemies and allies who are not in direct line of sight from you. That means even enemies being provided cover by the fact that an ally is interposed between you, only take or receive half healing and half shielding.
Fair.
And half damage.
Fair. That's fair.
Because you could like put yourself in the middle and you're like, everybody move! You just run in the middle and explode.
Yeah.
That would be fine.
You want to be a dick, you just step in front of your fellow player.
Well, it also, I that doesn't bother me at all, even if we didn't have the shielding. Because I like the idea that it is not something that you charge up from behind and then get into a position.
Yeah,
you have to be in the shit the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, you have to release it where
people
are within direct line of sight.
Yes.
Yeah. Like if there's an enemy in front of you and there's an enemy behind them, the enemy behind them only takes half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Cause it is light based.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like that. That's step 6. Supernova.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Done.
what we call lensing.
I literally just call it lensing.
Something that invokes travel, like lensed travel.
Hmm.
What do we say when you split? There's dazzling, which I like the flavor because they're going to get a negative one to hit. Anybody inside of it, right? But we already use it for dazzling ray. Let me look up, I'm thinking about something else to add to it because it's per scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there is a creature your size or smaller at the location, you can switch places with it.
I mean, that sounds awesome, but it feels it's a different power now.
Forcefully,
yeah.
Switch places with it.
Oh, that's really good, but that changes the feeling of what
can
it
we
is.
Make magician as a side path?
I feel like that's you got to save that for a higher thing.
Because, really? Because it's once per scene. They have to be exactly within 7, right? Like,
yeah.
So the target is exactly within 7, and you switch places with it.
Yeah,
I'm down with it.
And just if there is a target, you don't like. You're just using this as a no shit move, but it's a not, fun like.
So okay, so just so I'm clear, the target is literally only no further, no closer
correct.
Than 7 hexes.
Correct.
If it's at 6, you don't go through
correct.
It.
Correct.
Okay.
No, you go through it.
Yeah.
To go around it, you bend it.
There is no, it's literally, it is within 7, period.
So I'm at 0.
Sorry, not within. It is at 7.
It is at 7, because if it's at 5, I don't go through it and end at 7.
You do, but there's no target. If it is occupied.
Okay, if the space is occupied.
That's what I mean.
Then, okay, now that's I'm
then
digging that.
Then you switch spots.
Yes, yeah. So, if, yeah.
Do
so,
they go to 6 or do they go to 8?
They go exactly where you were 7. Standing.
Yeah, you teleport, you switch. So if I'm... If my maximum space difference is where you are...
No, I get it. I'm down with that.
We'll switch, but if it's beyond you, then you stay there, but I'm just show up a pop behind you.
Hell yeah.
So that's great because you're like, oh shit, I'm so lucky that there's one exactly 7 spaces from me. And then you switch.
We could call it like...
1.21 gigawatts.
The old switcheroo.
Miles an hour.
Displacing Flash.
I like that.
Displacing
like that.
Flash.
That's cool. I like it. Sounds like Berserker Slash.
Displacing Flash. We're done. All right, boys. Hombres.
Yes.
We talked about making a pre-made one shot for people to run.
Mm-hmm.
With that, we mentioned the idea of pre-made characters.
Uh-huh.
Pathfinder does something I like, and I think D&D has started doing this as well, where they have characters called iconics. I don't think we need as many as they do, but I think it'd be fun thought experiment, even if we weren't, I would like to toss this idea around. The idea is that the pre-made characters that you have on hand for people trying if they don't want to make their own are actually story characters in the lore of your setting.
I like that.
Could be fun. You know, just gotta figure out what it is.
Yeah. Let's think. How many pre-made characters should a one-shot have on hand?
5.
6.
I think Liam's right in that you should expect 5, but I think Mac's right that you should have 6 in tow.
I think you should have 2 to spare.
2 to spare.
Yeah. Like, if we're aiming for 5...
We should make 7?
Which I know sounds like a lot.
That actually doesn't... Well, and also, because of how you can flavor different things, you're right. Like, cool, we have something for the healing slot. We also have a backup healer that is also fun.
Right. The idea that if... let's say you put this out, it has 7 mm-hmm. characters, and you're going to play with 4 friends.
Yeah.
Well, there's just that many more things that you can do next time that's different.
Yeah, and I think we need to... There's a secondary consideration, which a party of 3 needs to work. Building a party of 2 that you can expand into 3 that you can expand into 5 is a rougher. But a party of 3 that works and then adding 2 more on is super doable.
Agreed.
So we'll do like the gauntlet stereotypes and then we could do our own more flavorful ones.
But one of the other things I wanted to mention is we should also explicitly have some straight paths and some fusee boys.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, variety.
I think let's pick the paths that should be straight all the way through.
Yeah, 4 standard.
Right now.
Yeah, core this, step one this, like
3. Yeah, same just the pure paths.
Yeah.
I say Zealotry.
Zealotry, Radiance,
Citadel.
And Citadel are the ones that come to mind.
I don't pick Radiance.
Because you can splash it so well?
Yeah.
What about, so the ones that are just straight down the line for their things, you're saying?
Zealotry is the top pick. I agree.
Because it is versatile, like as it goes.
And its powers... loop together so well.
Marksman.
Gotta have marksman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you can splash it with other
anything
things.
Ever, yeah.
Right, but that can be one of those.
But also,
ones.
pure marksman feels different enough.
Because, like, if you say core ice, step one marksman.
But there's also, because we have assault and long shot, we can flavor this marksman very specifically.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we need a marksman, we need a zealot.
A tank of some sort.
Yes.
I don't want
to... champion?
But I don't want to do ice tank either. Like, I don't want the core.
Pure death.
Yeah.
Because of the synergy.
We've built these, if you go pure with any of them, they're
great. Oh, they're great. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I'm thinking of ones you want to provide as examples
for
characters,
sure.
Right? Yeah. I think pure marksman.
Pure fire.
Pure, I don't know. I feel like you can mix fire ice.
You can, fire and ice can both be one thing, and then.
But also, what we're looking for is.
Fire radiance.
Is example, part of the pure path characters that we're providing, man, that was a lot of peace, should be examples of, like, going hard on one thing is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the reason why I say death is because mixing death with something else is great, but it adds more complexity than almost any of the others being mixed.
Then I'd say let's just stick to two pure boys and
we can make as many as like seven or eight of these.
Yeah. All right. Well then.
Right. So I'll
death, zealotry, marksman doesn't feel as necessary as the
I'd say
other two.
Four pure boys, and then three mixed.
How about four and four?
Stuff.
Four and four.
Four
I
and
like.
Four. There you
four
go.
Four and four. I like.
Yeah. And then this because if you sit down, the average size being about four.
Yeah.
Take your pick.
And you can also have two completely different parties running the same one shot. I like
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Okay. So pure radiance is not that important.
No.
But we should definitely mix it into at least two of the.
Because you want to heal him.
Yeah. What's our final pure boy? Scoundrel.
No.
I'm thinking someone,
Scoundrel feels way good to splash.
For me, I'm thinking someone who has never played this. What archetypes are
almost,
they going
to come in? The expectations are D&D, tank, wizard.
Yeah,
that's what
I,
I'm thinking.
I almost
like,
think
Citadel.
What do we do? Champion, dual wielding.
Yeah. Like, what figure are they
like
going to pick up
basically?
And be like, I want to be this guy.
Yeah.
You know?
So what are we looking at for the pure ones?
Death, zealotry, marksman.
Okay. Then.
You got to have a sword swinger.
I'm saying Citadel.
Citadel instead, because I feel like Citadel Command is a great combo.
It is.
Citadel Champion?
Citadel Champion is great, and Citadel Champion can be one of our mutual boys, because you should have at least two healers, two possible tanks, and then a murderer's row of DPS.
I feel like someone who's going to be into that is not going to pick the generic character off the shelf. Like, these are for people.
No, these are starter kind
but
of
who's
paragons.
Picking a starter character when they're that into the
if I see what
conventions happen all,
yeah.
all
like
the time.
Also
okay.
If this is their first RPG
yeah okay I'm just saying or, I think it's for me it's more the sword guy the axe guy the mage you know
the bow
yeah the archetypes that people are looking for to get into
because if you we're assuming that if you come to this to play this you've probably played other tabletop games before mm-hmm. So you know your cliches. But this is our twist, and that they're not what you're thinking is a fun way to do it.
And I do think showing off how differently our Citadel isn't a meat shield.
Like instead of
Citadel is a tank,
right? But and instead of saying, "Oh, wizard, death,"
yeah,
like
yeah.
I dig that. Like I think that's fun, and it says something that's interesting. So
I do like death being on there.
But death, marksman, zealotry. It'd be zealotry because you have to heal and shit. So.
Also, showing off how different zealotry feels than Zealots are not paladins.
So if we're making a party and we got those three and we have a fourth person that comes it down, what's the best pure?
Citadel, man.
Okay, let's just say Citadel, right? All right, and mixed, let's do Fire Ice.
Fire mm-hmm. Ice.
That's a fun combo.
Champ Scoundrel.
I would say
or
Scoundrel
Champ?
Command.
Ooh, I like that.
Because you poison that
it's
shit
it's all
too.
Control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Uh-huh. I like that.
Then Champion what?
Radiance.
I like that too. That feels more paladin-y.
Well, zealotry is kind of it does that too, right?
I feel like zealotry has more facets.
It does.
Where champion radiance is I'm a blasty boy and I'm a swordy boy.
Mm-hmm.
So command scoundrel.
Let's get one more radiance. We don't know which direction, right?
Yeah, radiance fire.
That can work.
Radiance marksman.
It all works. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to
problem. All this
it's almost like we spent 5 years making this.
But I think another consideration is if these are going like we're using them for one shot, we're going to write some lore around them. We're going to try and use them in other things as maybe side characters. They should also be
paragons
them,
of their, you know,
or just fun to write for.
Yeah.
The thing is, I almost want to like remove Scoundrel Command and change it to Scoundrel Radiance because that's what Frixa was and it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Do that, and then do Scoundrel Radiance,
okay.
And then we'll save Command.
What?
Like,
no, Radiance Command.
Radiance Command is good.
But now we got two Radiance.
What? Champion Command.
It's good, I know.
Also, teaching players to like, hey, don't be afraid to just splash Radiance or splash Command. Like, you can almost, if you're a control player or a back tier player, if you throw Command.
But we've already got four hub characters, one of which is Radiance, and now we have Radiance.
No, Zealotry.
Oh, Zealotry, my bad, my mistake. And then now we have, of the other four, of Mixie Boys,
yeah,
two of them are already Radiance.
I want two to be Radiance.
Yes.
But I think we can if we're doing Scoundrel Radiance, we can change Champion Radiance to Champion Command.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we have two that are Radiant mixes...
Well, we need one more.
No, sure, but should the other two be another, throwing it out there as just, say, Scoundrel? You know what I'm saying? It's like, just so that you can see that, okay, two examples of how you mix it with this, two examples of how you mix it with this.
No, because I think we're doing something else with that, where, like, part of what we are imparting that is, like, don't be afraid to splash Radiance to make parties work.
Okay.
Because that is, there are a lot of parties where, like, we don't have enough healing, or no one's a straight healer,
and
I'm just trying to say,
like, my question, I only bring it up because the question is, like, what are we trying to say with each one? With the core, we get what we're saying with that. Yeah. With the mixed ones, it's like, we're demonstrating how you can mix it up. So if we're saying, okay, instead of getting a core Radiance, you're seeing it split with these two and how different it affects them, do you do the same with another path?
No, because you're already, the lesson of you can have...
Is already demonstrated.
A similar path, then you're... So then relearning the same lesson, but with a different flavor.
So then the others can be just a buck wild mix of something else.
We haven't talked about races yet.
Yes.
What if one of them's a human, Champion Fire Radiance?
Like that.
Those all work together really well.
Sure.
And that's a fiery paladin, baby.
Yeah. No influence, just on the hands.
I think core fire, because you'll get the dodge bonus from strength.
Sure, yeah. Right? That's the other thing. What order do you do it in?
Like, that's what we're going to talk about.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, so we got eight. All right, we got death. What race for death? I liked doing the bat, the Eshwin.
That one was great.
Savathian and
Deathfish is pretty cool.
Savathian is my pick.
But Eshwin, you get that bonus for Savathian is great, but with Eshwin, you do get that bonus for the ones that you kill. You can then suck up the life out of.
Life stealing.
Yeah.
That is good.
I think it fits.
That's why you picked?
It's why I picked it.
Yeah.
It's like a reward.
I want to play the death mage who's a dark, broody bat person. You're kind of...
I mean, yeah, do that. Or have a fucking blast and be...
Or here's the hardest one.
You know, like...
Zealotry. Who do we do for pure Zealotry? That's tough.
That is tough.
It'd be fun to do, like, Hrod, Gator person. Or Tiktani.
Hrod and, I think, Guff would be fun.
Guff would be fun, too.
Using the extra natural armor.
What's the Guff bonus about your
Well, you know, we have eight races.
Yeah.
And we've got eight...
Eight slots.
Eight slots here.
Yeah.
And human is...
The Tolden is taken. Eshwin is taken.
Gelt, I almost think Fire Ice.
Yeah, definitely Fire Ice.
I did a Gelt Fire Ice, and that was a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's do Gelt Fire Ice. Nice. Or Scoundrel Radiance would be fun for Gelt.
Yes.
Those are fun, too.
I also don't want to see a Tectani in the Scoundrel Radiance, just because...
It's a repeat.
We've seen Frixa work.
I kind of like it for Zealotry, though.
I do like it
for Zealotry. Because they get an extra action.
Yeah.
You want that?
What's the one again? What was it?
Tiktani for Zealotry.
Uh-huh.
Because the Tiktani get an extra action because they have an extra set of hands.
Yeah.
You can cast an extra spell, do that kind of stuff. You get that immediate armor.
No, that's dope.
What's a fun...
Pure Citadel Guff.
Yep,
you're going Guff, baby.
Yeah.
You're going... You're just a legionnaire.
It was either that or Hrod.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both good. Krex. Marksman or Scoundrel, I think, are the two in there.
Scoundrel Marksman.
Well, we have Scoundrel Radiance.
Yeah,
Scoundrel Radiance or Marksman.
Pure Marksman with Krex.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they can move, too. It's like also shoot just move.
The specific disguised version of Robin Hood from the Disney one.
Hell oh, yeah.
I just see that guy. Write him exactly that way.
All right.
He's perfect.
Hrod, we've got two picks. Scoundrel Radiance, Champion Command. They're both kind of fun.
Scoundrel Radiance really uses that armor.
Well, our other choice is Savathian.
Yeah.
Fish person, Champion Command, alligator person, Scoundrel Radiance.
Yes. And the extra strength is useful.
For Scoundrel Radiance, not very much. More so for Champion.
Yeah, I guess Champion Command.
Like a battle-hardened... Here's the thing. We've got Citadel Guff, but I almost feel like Champion Command is better Guff, and then we could go pure Citadel Hrod.
All right.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, like I said, it was either Guff or Hrod for that. So if Hrod is pure Citadel and then Champion Command, because the Guff are about like coming together, you know, organizing.
Can you make that guy seven armor? Level zero?
No, because I think you only get the benefit of that armor when you're under two from your armor. Because it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, then I almost don't like the. Because then you're not using the, like, the thing they get is nullified by being
but it's very
pure
fitting.
Citadel.
But their other stuff they get is good. Tail sweep is Citadel, is, you know, bite is good.
And like I said, the Guff with the command.
Ordering people around.
You know, that's good.
All right, Scoundrel Radiance, Savathian.
Yeah.
A tuna.
Too tough, too fast. I almost think, like, anglerfish.
Yeah.
Just house rules, no blobfish.
What if a lion?
Don't make anyone draw that.
What if a lion got in a fight with a tuna, though?
Lionfish?
No, an actual lion.
I mean, if you're in the water, you're in the tuna's territory.
It's true. What if the tuna make scuba suits come on the land to fight the lion?
Barracuda. Okay.
What about a bear versus a shark, but in 3 feet of water?
God damn it.
That's when the most deadly shark attacks happen.
Yeah.
There's a whole book about that.
The shark has the chance.
How do you feel anglerfish, Scoundrel Radiance?
I like it.
Are we cool?
Yeah.
Because it's got the sharp, crazy teeth, and it's got the little lantern.
Yeah.
Has to be a female, though, because males are only like an inch long, right?
Weird. Ours are like humanoid. They have like arms and legs and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. What kind of mustelid is our fire ice geld?
Badger.
I think that was the one I chose.
Badger.
I
yeah.
I think that was a badger. Yeah.
But also, I'm looking for something iconic.
Yeah. Badger can have the black and white stripes. You know, fire and ice.
The long
contrast.
I think we'll make the guff a javelina.
Nice.
It's like smaller.
Hell yeah. That's a southwestern fast ass motherfucker.
Peccary is, I think, what the other name for it.
What about the crex?
Crane.
Oh, yeah, because we're talking Robin Hood, right?
I just wanted to be that.
I'm down with that. Sandhill crane?
Citadel's fraud. There's a flavor to, I think, like, what culture do we want the Citadel fraud to come from? I think the Mara, like the Egyptian one, I think it does it, right?
Okay.
That's the most fun, yeah.
Yeah, so like the Egyptian styling of like the shield and the armor could be really cool.
Do they have the
take a spear with that shit?
Oh, a spear, yeah.
Definitely. Do they have those curved swords? I don't know what they're called.
Oh,
Scimitars?
No. Kopesh, right?
Okay, a kopesh.
Curved swords.
That's a good look.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Do they have chariots? And are they pulled by those fast desert rats we had?
Have we done the joke about, I want for this Herod, when he writes to his, like, lady friend back home, it's either going to be an ostrich or a hippo, like, just to make it go full Fantasia.
Oh.
That's the shit. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Damn,
it's a shield with a scarab on it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's dope as shit. Okay. All right, I like that. So we've got it's the Marin.
When I die, bury me in the mausoleum with my ancestors.
Are they just, like,
grind my bones and add them to the mortar?
He's coughing up his blood. You must take me to the necropolis. I demand. It's my last order to you.
Are there really lucky Tiktania that just hang out with Rod?
They're bros.
Yeah.
The scarabs.
Mm-hmm.
Eshwin, what kind of bat for death? I think we got to make it attractive. We got to make if it's death, maybe the darker ones. Vampire bat.
You got to remember. You got to refresh me on the different Eshwin.
Is there a...
Oh, the different cultures? I was just thinking of the kind of bat it looks like.
Is there an ugly bat?
Oh, there's tons of ugly bats.
Ugly bats.
Most bats are ugly.
Yeah, the flying fox fruit bat are the cute ones.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I almost want it to be cute. I think that's a fun character to
because you
to
think
deal with.
Oh, because you know if you go super dark goth with it, it's like
it's
been done. But if you do it, it's just like the flying fox. It's like handsome.
Hey,
hello,
what's
there.
Up? Hey,
yeah.
All right, flying fox.
Yeah.
What about what's the one for Fern Gully with like that radar dish coming out of his head?
Batty. I mean, he's a fruit bat.
Yeah, he's a fruit bat.
Right. Or Bartok.
Hardest one to pick. Tiktani. What kind of bug is our zealot?
He's got to have the multiple legs, obviously, because he's got the thing, which, you know.
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Bullet ant.
Stick bug?
Something expressive.
Expressive bug?
What's that bug that
Ladybug.
Ladybug. That's I remember during our first test play, that's what...
What's the bug that explodes?
The stink bug?
No.
The ladybug is what Keith played.
Mm-hmm.
Roly-poly?
Ladybug's very colorful. That's the thing. That could be fun.
I mean expressive. Like, what's got big... Mantis?
Mantis
has big eyes.
Yeah. Mantis.
Okay.
What did you when you played as Krex or Frixa? When you
I was a grasshopper.
Grasshopper. I mean, rhinoceros beetle is better for like a citadel thing.
Yeah.
Also, it's just really easy go to because they're so weird looking.
What about a dragonfly?
I mean, fuck it, cockroach.
Dragonfly.
Yeah.
Cockroach is pretty cool.
Palmetto bug.
Palmetto bug is cool.
Cicada. It's really
cicada
loud.
Could be fun.
Dragonfly. I think you guys said already. That's kind of fun.
I'm just thinking eyes now, right?
Yeah, I think of big eyes, right?
Arachnids. Can we put in there?
Not really.
Quite.
They don't live in, like, hives, you know?
A good ant. Good solid ant.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning bug?
Lightning bug. It's lightning bug.
Zealotry. Lightning bug.
Yes.
Like it.
Damn.
Sold.
Firefly.
Okay. And that's it. Like, the Tolden, we'll come up with the character concepts. And we can get around that. Humans are easier to come up
with. What's our final lineup?
Final lineup for the iconic characters for the Artifacts role-playing game.
Your starting lineup.
We have an Eshwin, flying fox, that is a full death wizard.
Fucking
bum bum bum. A very zealous firefly Tiktani.
Love it.
Ooh.
A very tall and keen-eyed Krex crane. For our tank, we have Citadel, which is the Hrod, as a member of the Mara. Fire Ice Gelt looks like a badger.
Mm-hmm.
Scoundrel Radiance is a Savathian that looks like an anglerfish.
Tight.
A guff that looks like a javelina.
Metal.
That is Champion Command. We have a Tolden. That is Champion Fire Radiance. And with this lineup, I realize we need one more character.
What's that?
Alternate tank.
Okay.
We have healers.
Did we do Champion Citadel already?
We did Champion Command. I was thinking, what about Ice? Citadel Ice.
I like it.
Citadel Ice could be good.
Tolden?
I think Armorless, because core Ice. Because
you can make it, right?
Yeah, you make you get an armor bonus from your Endurance if you're Ice. So the Fire Ice Badger is probably core Fire, and this guy is core Ice. So core Ice, step one Citadel.
Yeah.
We should later on plan, like, they're going to level up. They're going to be higher level adventurers.
Yes, they're going to do stuff.
Other stuff they're going to get.
Yeah. Just to start. And what race is that one going to be?
That's a good question. So we've got everything already. Let's just pick what's the best for this.
I was just throwing out Tolden as a generic.
Because then really Ice Citadel?
See, but it's different because it goes da-da-na-na.
It is different. We could do Tolden.
Could do another Gelt.
We've already have a Hrod as a tank.
What's the other most populous race?
I don't think we spec'd it out that way. Well, let's look for somebody who has an endurance bonus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gelt, Hrod. Gelt, Hrod, and I think that's it. I'm double checking.
If it was Tiktani, you could go Dung Beetle, like he rolls up snowballs.
Oh.
So with shit.
Look, Liam's giving me. Like, what? That's not the dumbest thing you've heard.
No, it isn't the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but then I just thought of Dung Snowman and I'm not having a good time. So that's like, that's not on you. That's on me.
That's a you problem.
I think Max is right for Tolden.
Let's go Tolden again.
Do we hit a third path or do we expand on Ice or Citadel? I think Citadel. Double Citadel.
I was going to say, what?
Because that gives you.
No,
because
you have to do. What, so then it would. No, because you can't. Because we're doing core Ice, right?
Yeah.
And then step one, Citadel. Yeah. Can't go step two, Citadel.
So it'd be Ice, then Ice and Citadel.
Yeah.
All right.
And I do like that because that's showing off the other thing you can do with Tolden, which is, do you splash something or do you go crazy?
Let's look at step two Ice just to see real quick.
Step two?
Step one. Sorry, step one Ice to see if that plays in. It's all range attacks. That's the problem. We can give him a third thing.
Champion, then.
We already give Champion to Fire.
Marksman?
Scoundrel.
It's ranged. Ice Scoundrel.
Command. Ice, Citadel, and Command, Champion are like the good ones if you're going to get up in the shit, right?
Yeah. Although, again, Scoundrel isn't bad. You get some combat tricks.
It's true.
Like Ice Champion.
Helmet Splitter.
I think Champion. Because our other tank doesn't have Champion. It's just pure Citadel.
Yeah, just pure Citadel.
Okay.
An Ice Champion is cool. Like, just the idea.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the amount of people who go core Citadel.
Dip into it.
If by, you know, your fifth level, there isn't a step one. Like, you're just like, you just keep looking at Helmet Splitter going like, it's worth it. It's fucking worth it to just grab that.
These are our iconic character builds. Mm-hmm. We don't know anything about them other than mechanics.
Yes.
We're going to deal with that later. We're going to come up with some character concepts, maybe one or two per episode.
Love it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today. Thank you everyone for listening. And as always, if you have comments or suggestions, our Patreon is patreon.com/RPGFS. Our $2 and up patrons can find us on the Omniverse Discord. On Twitter, we are at @HomebrewHombres and on Facebook at facebook.com/RPGFS. And until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.